Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And 670thescore.com. In Odyssey Station.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Yeah, I think just having a guy that can, you know, run with tight ends, run with receivers, and that can move. Because obviously cover two, man, if that Mike linebacker is athletic and moving around, you can make a lot of plays. And obviously when you turn on that film with Brian Urlacher, he made a lot of plays, in particular cover two. Obviously he made a lot of plays on a lot of defenses, but, you know, he perfected that cover two.
That is the prize of free agency so far for the Chicago Bears, Tremaine Edmonds. And we are learning more as Matt Eberflus is actually talking about roles and expectations for, let's face it, his favorite position on the field. He was a linebacker's coach.
He was a linebacker.
He likes linebackers.
So now we have an idea of where the linebackers will get deployed, because this is what he had to say down in Arizona yesterday about it.
Yeah, so with the linebackers that I've had the opportunity to coach, you know, I've always started out with this, that your job is to hit the football. So you're in the middle of the defense. You are always at the point of attack, and we're there to affect the game. And those guys will do that. You know, we always look at guys that have, like I said, quickness. They got to be quick. You know, they got to have great instincts, which those guys have. You know, and then really it's about the production on the ball, you know, and be, you know, really competitive in there. So when we get those guys in sync, you know, working together with that athletic ability, it's going to be something special to watch.
When you guys traded Roquan last year, you had mentioned that the ball production just wasn't there from that position. Tremaine, he has less of that. Does he have more of a higher ceiling? Is that how you evaluate that?
Yeah, you know, all of our players, you know, when you put it on a player's mind, you know, and really start to train a player to take the ball away, and then he has that physical, you know, attributes that he has, the length and the size and the range, that's going to come from him, you know, and that's what makes those guys special. You know, the ability to take the ball away is what takes you from a B player to an A-plus player, and I really believe that all of our defense can take that step, and I think we did a nice job at the end of the season last year.
That's Matt Eberflus, and on a different subject, before we get into the specifics here, we have to stop this player and coach and executive verbal tick of saying the word yeah to begin any answer. And I know it's a crutch, and people do it all the time. Yeah, it's just an automatic, reflexive use of the word yeah that can be misconstrued. If you listen to her question and his first word is yeah, that's a big deal. If he says that the way he confirms that, but he didn't mean that. I know he didn't mean it.
He didn't mean to confirm Edmonds was going to be a better
higher ceiling.
Right.
Didn't mean that. And we have this issue with Ryan Poles too. I know Jed Hoyer does it. The first time I heard it was Chris Bryant that started doing it years ago. I really wish somebody would coach some of these people to not begin, no matter what the answer is. There's no reason to begin with the word yeah. Just answer. It's a crutch. It's a tick. It's unnecessary and it's confusing. There. I'm done.
No, you're not. You'll bring it up again.
Well, I will because it really bothered. I don't know when it started. I don't know who's coaching people to like buy yourself time with that.
It's super prevalent with the Bears too. That's the problem.
You don't
that
need
Ryan
to say-
Poles and Matt Eberflus both do the same thing.
Right. Nagy did it too. It's just a generational speed.
I wonder if Trace Armstrong talking.
Right, is trading Justin Fields off the table? Yeah, we're not really. It's like you just said, yeah.
But
that
know,
means yes.
There's a whole like school of memes around yeah, no in the Midwest. How yeah, no is a synonym for no. It's just yeah. a thing.
Yeah, Nagy did it too.
Yeah, I know because I heard you talk about it.
Yeah, it just bugs me. I don't know what. Oh God.
Another song that has magically withstood the test of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Edmonds is the mic.
That's what they yeah. seem there. To be
confirmed.
Indicating.
Edmonds
that
is the mic. I'm doing the mic point.
Am I the only one who?
I'm doing yeah. the center, one hand on the ball. I'm pointing at the mic, and it's Edmonds. Okay, so he'll do the Urlacher stuff.
Yeah.
He'll run straight backwards.
Let's see. Here's the thing. Two things. One, the Urlacher thing. Really hard to duplicate.
Yeah, pretty special. No one ever was as good or maybe will be as good as doing what he did.
Very dangerous to even play the game of comparing anyone to that guy, even though some of the physicals look the same.
Mm-hmm. We just want him to be another Babe Ruth, you know? We just need one
That's
of those
all.
on the Sox and Cubs.
The other thing is, and to be clear, I really like the addition of Tremaine Edmonds. I think he has been one of the most productive, interesting, and athletic linebackers in the league. Comma, but you in that cut talked about ball production and ball production and off the ball linebackers became a slur against Roquan Smith. That was a big talking point for anyone who wanted to bootlick the Bears and say that they shouldn't cave to his contract demands. Well, he doesn't get the ball out. He doesn't force fumbles. He doesn't take the ball away. I am about to read you Tremaine Edmonds' stats in his career when it comes to his ball production. Passes defended pretty good. At 35, the most he ever had in a season was his rookie season, by the way. Interceptions for his career, 5. Forced fumbles for his career, 2. For an off-the-ball linebacker, that doesn't scream to me that you should be giving him a big old contract, does it? I just want them. I have no problems with Edmonds being added. I really like Edmonds being added. All I'm saying is make sure that you look for the consistency of argument. When the argument against Roquan was he doesn't take the ball away enough, and you added a linebacker that takes the ball away less than he did, I'm just trying to figure out if you're being honest.
So the difference in that is $2 million a year. That's it, really, isn't it? Because that's the difference in those two contracts.
Well, the argument Dan made, I think Dan made it very well, that not trading away Roquan, you end up getting more value back with everything. If you look at it in totality.
Overall scope.
Yeah, you get more by trading him. I just know that as they were chumming the waters for them to trade Roquan, they did it by saying to this reporter or this reporter, well, you know, what we really like is to have a more productive on-the-ball linebacker.
They said it openly in press conferences.
They sure did. And it became a way for fans to rally to the side of the Bears in saying, oh, it totally makes sense for them to trade a 25-year-old all-pro linebacker. Totally makes sense. You know why it makes sense? Because he doesn't take the ball away. Oh, all right. Cool.
Well, in some respects, they couldn't be honest about one aspect of it. They couldn't, even though we all saw through it. And I'm not even talking about the personal, the stuff with Ryan Poles, because that stuff existed too. But they couldn't say, we're trying to lose a lot of games right now. And one way we're going to lose a lot of games is trading Roquan and trading Quinn.
Yeah.
And it mattered. And they did. And they got the number one pick. But they couldn't. They could not say it. They couldn't imply it. They couldn't leak it. They left that to us.
But also,
what I'm saying is that we didn't do a great job with that responsibility. That we took it on its face and ran with it, and in a lot of ways besmirched a player's career because of it.
Now hold on, I think there were a lot of us in this house.
I agree. I'm not talking about us.
But let me.
I'm using
this.
The royal us.
But I'm saying a lot of us in this house specifically who have microphones defended Roquan Smith. We also saw what happened with a bunch of players who were younger and showed talent and were drafted by Ryan Pace. Let's not forget what happened with Tevin Jenkins and how suddenly he had requested a trade or he was trade available. And I still think until they added to the offensive line, he was your best available offensive lineman most of the season. And they wanted to put their guy, the fifth-round pick, over at left tackle. Roquan Smith is not their guy.
I also didn't like the way Roquan Smith was like, yeah, but George McCaskey's going to have to step in here. Like, the way he tried to do it was unprofessional and ham-handed.
But also,
why is that unprofessional?
To start invoking the owner's name, trying to play the new GM and be like, oh, yeah, you think... I just
thought why can't he... The deck is stacked against the player. Why can't the player use everything at their disposal to get what they want?
He
can do it, but I think to do it for him to do it publicly through the media was bush league.
But he did what a lot of people do. He was like, this is the old boss that I know versus the new boss that I don't. That made sense to me. But when you add all of this up, another point is this is the time where we keep those receipts. We kept them whenever he traded the Bears pick for Chase Claypool. Yep. And we saw Chase Claypool's production and so far this season. And then we saw Roquan Smith get the contract he did. And now we're seeing Tremaine Edmonds. And the difference to me is with Edmonds, yeah, it's a cheaper AAV. And it's also his height.
But I guess my point is he played in a defense that was similar. And he has both a head coach and a defensive coordinator that understood the defense. This isn't someone coming from a completely different system that you would think they would be able to look at him and go, wow, you know, he's very tall.
He was underutilized.
And long arms. Maybe we should use him in this spot and then he'll get more ball production from us. That wasn't the case. All I'm saying is that, like, even when we say good things about this regime, and we should, like this move, even like I even like this move. I just want people to be aware of how they were manipulated into talking. It's still, even still, there's still people in the text. They're still talking that Yang about Roquan that we just kind of allowed the general manager to trade away a 25-year-old linebacker. Because, according to them, he wasn't productive when it came to taking the ball away. We need linebackers who are going to hit the ball.
Yeah, I think that's been blown up as a lie. I think that rationale clearly doesn't hold water.
I just would like to present it to the people that that's what it was. And when we said it before... And it sounded weird, like, wait, you don't find any value in the production of a leading tackler. And what you did was go and get a guy who's a leading tackler.
Yeah, I think that rationale, that plank has been exposed as a canard. That they didn't see, there was some personal resentment clearly. And I think there was a desire, there was also a convenient timing to make the team worse.
They're the same picture.
Just wanted to put it out there for people. That's all. I mean, I just wanted people to understand.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think we should also remain thinking about it during the season.
Yes.
And I think we should keep an eye on Roquan Smith.
And now here's what I'll say going forward. Let's be very careful about taking this guy who's a really good player, and even though he might be playing the same position and maybe being asked to do some of the same things that Brian Urlacher did, let's be very careful with how we talk about that. Because Brian Urlacher is a unicorn of a player. And as good as Tremaine Edmonds is, and he's very good, he's not that. And it's unfair to ask him to be that.
When we come back, Will Perdue has thoughts on the Bulls, who will be taking on the L.A. Lakers back here. They just played them in L.A. They'll be home tonight in a game you'll hear on your home for Bulls basketball. Hey, it's the score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score. Three-time world champion Chicago Bulls.
So you know what you do with this game?
Throw it in the garbage.
Oh, I missed.
You're not Nicholas Batum or Eric Gordon.
Not to that.
That was Will Perdue's primary thought after the Bulls lost to a Clipper team that just shot the heck out of it, in large part because the closeouts were a little late and sometimes hurried and didn't adapt to the next passes thereafter. But he's here to talk about the Bulls' current situation and tonight's matchup with the Lakers. He's on Twitter at Will_Perdue32, the Bulls' TV pregame and postgame analyst on NBC Sports Chicago. Joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports. But what's up, Will?
Dan, Layla, Lawrence. I mean, this is like full house. I'm going back to the 80s, man.
Everywhere you look.
I was going to pick on Layla and say, hey, this it's Punky Brewster, but then I was like, I can't do that.
I have matching shoes on, Will. My hair is not in pigtails. You were on to something when you went through all the algorithms with me on Sports Sunday on NBC5 when you said, I look at the team through three-game pods. And you were like, so traditionally they've been 2-1 in each of these pods. And I was like, that's interesting. I'll keep an eye out for that after this win over the Lakers and see what happens with the Clippers. And true to form, Will, they went 2-1 in your pod. Can you share this with the rest of us for the rest of the season?
Well, I just was thinking, all right, you know, I'm looking at the standings, right? And I'm like, listen, they're not getting to 7, so let's forget about that. 7's going to keep flip-flopping between Miami and Brooklyn. But then I started looking at the numbers, and I looked at who we play from this point forward, and I'm like, Atlanta, Toronto, who they don't play, and then, you know, the Bulls. And I'm sitting here saying, okay, I think Atlanta's probably going to go 5-5. They've basically been playing 500 ball since February. And if you look at Atlanta's numbers today in their last 10 games, guess what they are? They're 5-5. So I'm like, hypothetically, if Atlanta goes to 41-41 and they're 500 at the end of the season, the Bulls need to go 8-4. And that's when there were 12 games left. So how do you go 8-4? You go 8-4 by going 2-1 in these four groups of three-game pods. So far, they're still on track to do that. And I think even if 8-4 doesn't get them to 8, I hope it gets them to 9, because I would really love them to be able to play at home against Toronto instead of having to play on the road in Toronto in a 9-10 matchup. I mean, if they do it in a 9-10 matchup.
Would you ever tell LeBron that he was too small?
No. I mean, listen, I'm interested to see how this turns out tonight because, you know, we made a comment before the game in L.A. on Sunday, or Sunday, that regardless of what LeBron says, he knows who he's compared to. He makes it a point to say that he feels like he's the best of all time. And he does have an argument, but we won't have that argument today. I still feel like Michael's the best of all time, but LeBron has one thing that Michael doesn't have: most points scored all time. So he always plays with an extra chip on his shoulder, in my opinion, against the Bulls. Now, the one thing that Kendall pointed out in the post game that I went back and looked at, and as he talked about, he went back and watched the game. Right now, LeBron's back, and he's good north-south, but he's struggling east-west. Now, if he was healthy, I would literally look for a wager that said LeBron's going to score 40 or more if I was a gambler and put money on him going over. A, because you're in Chicago in the home of Michael Jordan, and there's a statue out in the lobby, and Pat Bev's little antics. But I'm just not sure he's 100%. Plus, last night, he was in Houston watching his son play in the McDonald's All-American game. So when did he fly in? Did he fly in last night? Is he flying in at the present moment? Not that that's necessarily going to affect him mentally, but that might have a little bit of an effect on him physically on how he plays tonight. Because now that the Bulls lost the game on Monday against the Clippers, I feel like this is a must-win game, specifically being at home, and not just to go 2-1 in the pod, but just to try to get yourself to 500 and be 41-41 at the end of the season.
LeBron James tonight, per my FanDuel app, will over 25.5 points is -104. I don't know how that plays in your mind, but that's the number you have right now. Let me ask you this. Who got to DeMar? Who told him, hey, you know what? Shoot a couple more threes, look to distribute, and start really working a little harder on defense? Because he's done all three recently.
Well, I don't – this is what I think, Dan. I don't know if anybody got to DeMar, but I think the one thing you're noticing since Pat Beverly got here – and again, not that this has been intentional to take the ball out of DeMar's hands, but this is just what we continually talk about in our show – the Pat Bev effect, whether you want to say it's real or not, it's real. But if you'll notice, the ball's in Pat Bev's hands a lot, in the sense that not necessarily running the offense, but pushing the ball up the floor. And the one thing I've noticed is Pat Bev won't give the ball to DeMar or whoever's taking the ball out of bounds. You'll see Pat Bev standing there clapping his hands. You know, give me the ball, give me the ball, because he wants to go and run with it. He knows that if you throw the ball to DeMar in the backcourt, he's going to walk it up. He's going to go isolation. And there's an 84.7% chance he's probably going to take the shot. Just made that number up. But there's a good chance. I think because of Pat Beverly, because of Zach LaVine, because of Io, Kobe, you know, and circling around the Pat Bev, and Billy talking about, we got to play downhill, got to play downhill, got to play downhill. It's starting to set in, but I think a lot of that has to do with Pat Bev talking to these guys about how they have to play in order to win. And I'm not sitting here saying they're like, okay, meeting behind closed doors, we can't let DeMar dribble the ball up, but it affects our offense. So I think that DeMar's realized that, hey, I'm going to get less touches, so I'm going to have to take fewer shots. So my shots need to be more impactful. And I think that's part of the reason. It's just my opinion, but that's part of the reason why he's taking more threes.
I'm still trying to figure out if we have a word on Alex Caruso's availability yet for the game tonight, but how that affects what's going on with what we're seeing out of, like, not just guys getting the opportunities in the starting lineup, but also what you're saying about DeMar DeRozan's facilitating, like how that's being maybe shaped differently because of personnel, or if that's something where we're seeing just Pat Beverly completely influence on his own.
I think Billy has pushed that as well. But another thing, and I'll give Kendall credit where credit's due, along with Jason, the Lakers, if you'll notice, along with the Clippers, started to press the Bulls a little bit as far as pressure up.
Yeah, It killed the second unit. Really turtled. I thought the Clippers' pressure was physical too. Like they got out and used their bodies, and there was a lot of contact. And I just think the second unit really seemed to struggle with that.
They did, and I think that that's why you'll see other teams continue to do the same. Why do you think that the Bulls continue to struggle against teams like the Orlando Magic? And this is why that, you know, Toronto scares me, because they're not good matchups, but the physicality of which those teams play with. And if there is – listen, this team is playing better. What are they, 7-3 in their last 10, right? So there has been some changes made. But at the end of the day, the areas that need to be addressed in the offseason are three-point shooting, which they've been on a heater as of late, but just the physicality and the mental toughness of which this team plays with. You know, it's got to be more consistent. And I understand Billy talks about, you know, these are great guys, which I believe. They get along, which I believe. But you can't just have one Pat Beverly. That's a temporary fix as far as an instigator and a player that holds guys accountable.
Can I add one thing? I've got to add some to that wish list here, because I hear it from Billy and I heard it after the last game, and that's rim protection. We 2 years now we've been wanting rim protection, and when he came out of the Clipper game and Donovan said part of the problem with their three-point defense is because of the need to pack in and defend the paint, because they don't have that guy to clean up mistakes standing behind everybody. Now, I'm adding a little bit. I'm fleshing out what he said. But he said then because you're so concerned about penetration, you're so concerned about guarding the rim as a team, that then you're racing out to find shooters, and then you're having to adjust if they skip the ball, if they reverse the ball, that you get behind, and that starts everything snowballing. And it sounded to me like he's crying out to tell his bosses, get me a guy back there, somebody to at least backstop our defense if we don't have Lonzo Ball helping out trying to blow up some of these ball screens.
No, you're right. I mean, listen, Vooch, I think, is a very valuable piece of this team. And because of the fact they didn't trade him, I fully believe that they're going to make every effort to try to sign him. And I don't have a problem with that. But that's not one of his strengths, as you just pointed out. And I'm glad you brought that up as well, Dan. The one thing I've also noticed with Billy is, you know, if you listen to his press conferences, he's become more descriptive in the sense of what he thinks his team is lacking, what they need. And a perfect example is that, you know, last week, go back to what Billy said after they beat Philly, and then after what, then they lost to Philly. Because what did he say? He pulled something out that really surprised me when he said, you know, that kind of reminded me of Game 3 against Milwaukee in the playoffs last year. We get one of two. So now you're in position to maybe, you know, do some damage. And then how we played once we got back home. And he talked about, I mean, he was very vocal about that and how disappointed he was. And the fact that that second Philly game reminded him of that. So that right there, as you just talked about, Dan, was to me very specific on what he thinks is one of the many things that need to be addressed. And that's what I mean from the physicality, the mental toughness, things of that nature.
Will, I think that Coby White's a better player now. The statistics don't necessarily bear that out. So I'm going with some objective instead of subjective instead of objective when I'm looking at him. I want to know from you, do you think he's a better player? And if you do, what are the telltale signs of that from your point of view?
Well, Lawrence, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. He is a much better player, not just better. And the interesting thing is, as you just said, you know, from the analytics standpoint, people be like, oh, come on, man, the analytics don't say so. Well, then I'm like, then you obviously haven't been watching the game, because the eye test screams that he's gotten better. And I think in many, many ways. Is he still inconsistent with his shooting? Yes. But his ball handling is so much better. All right. His decision making is so much better. I feel like the physicality of which he plays the game has gotten better, because he'll attack a big man without question. He's stepping in and taking charges. I think that, you know, listen, it's a contract year. I get it. Players always play better in a contract year because they're thinking about it constantly. But he went from the guy that we thought was going to be left out to the guy that they have to have in that lineup. And as Dan said, in that second unit, even though, you know, the second unit as a whole struggled, to me, he's the guy that makes that second unit go.
I think that's a fair statement. And I would also like to take the time to see, did you notice what Andre Drummond said yesterday
on social media? About removing himself from social media because of the mental aspects?
Yes. I just want to take this time, I think, to just bring it up with you and support Andre. I think that was...
Is he okay?
He said he just needed to take some time, and I know, Will, you saw it too. It's something that we touched on.
I just actually saw it today.
Right.
In regards to he was removing himself from social media for the rest of the season. So, to me, that says that there's obviously been some people that have been, you know, tweeting at him, you know, regarding... You know, regardless of what he does, they tell him how much he sucks and stinks and everything like that. It's just, you know, unfortunately, I think that's where our society has changed a lot, in the sense that now people can hide, you know, behind tweets and emails and things of that nature. And, you know, the passive aggressive nature of a lot of people in this country have really increased.
And I just appreciate him being able to say, I'm going to get myself in a better place about it. Like, I want to focus on my mental health. And I think he's done a great job as well off the bench. And I don't know, it hit me some type of way when I read that.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that today, and I was like, wow, wonder what's going on behind the scenes in the sense that, you know, what's as far as what people are doing. Because the problem is with social media, there's no limitations. You can pretty much say or do whatever you want, especially when, you know, you're going at somebody. So, you know, it to me, it's more than just, hey, I'm going to remove myself from social media. To me, it says, you know, a message loud and clear that's, I don't know if somebody's personally attacking him or going at him, but he felt it was necessary to totally remove himself to try to eliminate, you know, from, you know, what he deals with on a daily basis.
Is there anything that the Bulls can duplicate against the Lakers tonight that you're hoping that they duplicate?
You know, what they've done as of late, you know, when you look at the big sample sizes, they got to play faster. You know, and the one person we're not talking about at the moment is Zach LaVine, I think, is playing so much better. I think he's also making better decisions. You know, you look, his assist numbers, I don't want to say they're way up, but they're significantly up compared to his turnovers. And I think a key part of that is their ability to play fast because of the players that they have that can and are capable. And I think that's just something that Billy has to constantly work on. Remember, when Billy first came in, one of the things that he kept chirping about was, I'm talking to these guys about next possession, next possession, next possession. And we used to have sound of, you could hear the mics picking him up, yelling from the bench, go, next possession, next possession, you know. And you're like, wow, it took 3 years for it to finally set in. So I just feel like that, you know, it's constantly him hammering this message home, them finally figuring it out. And one of the things that Kendall always likes to say is stick to the game plan. And I think that they realize as individuals, you know, how much heat this team's going to take and criticism when the season's over because of the fact that, you know, it's unfortunate they're in the 10th position. It's unfortunate that they're playing as well as they are now compared to earlier in the season, because we all knew they had it in them. We were just wondering, what's going on behind the scenes? Why is this not happening? And I'm just glad that they've figured it out to a certain extent. They still have limitations, but there's no way this team should be, you know, just barely into the play-in game. And I think we all know that. The question is now what's going to happen in the off season to correct it and make it better?
No, I know what I'd like to replicate, and that would be make a boatload of threes, because life is easier when you do that, because as Stacy says, it's a simple game. Will Perdue, thank you, as always.
What do you guys call yourself when there's all three of you in there?
Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi.
Yeah, but I know during the commercials you guys call yourself something else. You just don't want to let us in the general public know.
No, yeah, we call each other Lawrence, Dan, and Layla.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all we do, man.
But we all know that you're trying to come up with something catchy.
I tried the law firm. No one seemed to enjoy that. So, you know. Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi makes a lot of sense to us, Will. So.
Yeah, but the problem is you got a guy sitting there that goes, the law firm? Yeah, we'll call ourselves Bernstein, Bernstein, and Bernstein.
That is very true. Will, have a good broadcast tonight,
strays,
sir.
Strays from above. Thank you, Will.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
When we come back, there's a really interesting roster move that was made that I think people will be encouraged by. Next here on The Score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
It looks like the White Sox are working out in Houston. And Rick Hahn has spoken to the people about some of the things that are going on. And there was a really interesting choice on what to do with Liam Hendricks on the roster.
So he's not going out of the 60-day DL because that tells me they think he'll be back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, the things are going really well. And if they put him on the 60-day, then he's taken off of the 40-man roster for 60 days. So the fact that and Hahn said that that was strategic, that there was a reason behind it. So it's really encouraging to me that Liam Hendricks's treatment, I forget about him, the player, but the fact that if his treatment's going so well that they could actually kind of put him in the plans for the season is super,
that's great,
super encouraging.
Did you guys see Lance Lynn talk to AJ Pierzynski, our guest at 1 o'clock, about it? Lance had given an update, I want to say about 10 days ago. It was the day before the final of the World Baseball Classic. And he talked about Hendricks, and Hendricks was like, yeah, I think I'm going to get out there as fast as I can. And Lance was like, dude, take your time. Like,
yes.
Nobody's pushing you. Slow down.
Yes. No, the White Sox have been very good about that. But we've heard the stories of him like playing catch and stuff and being around. And I think that that's a good thing. I think it's a great thing to hear that he's not put on the 60-day IL. So why don't we talk with that man?
We're going to. Next, AJ Pierzynski has been front and center. He was the guy talking to Hawk Harrelson. We're going to talk to him about catching, about maybe going defensive philosophy versus offensive philosophy, all of that. So the firebrand former White Sox will join us next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.